Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us out into the water to follow you, Lord, through impossible situations and circumstances. Lord, I just pray that today that you give us a vision of how you want to lead us, and that you would give us these ready and willing feet that will honor you and follow you wherever you may lead. In Jesus' name, amen. At our crew meeting recently, I told the story of how God challenged me many years ago to follow him anywhere he will lead during my last year of high school. I was in a car with others driving through Minneapolis, my hometown area, when someone in the car pointed out a nearby apartment tower. This person told the rest of us that this building is called the Ghetto in the Sky. And they went on to tell us story after story of horrible things, including how drug dealers would sometimes throw people off of balconies. I remember feeling this sense of fear at the awful things I was hearing about this terrible place. The next moment, though, I sensed God whisper in my heart, "Nathan, if I asked you to move to a place like that and minister there, would you do it?" I'd just like to ask everyone to put away their electronic devices. Thank you. Would you move to a place like this, Nathan? You know, I struggled with this. Even in this car, no one knew what was going on in my heart, but I struggled with it. And then I said, "Yes, Lord, if you ask me to move into a place like that, I would do it, but I need you to go with me." Over the next year, my friends and I started a ministry that brought the message of Jesus to the punk scene at my high school. After a few years, though, we began to sense that the Lord was leading us to transition our ministry into the inner city. And then we sensed that the Lord was leading us to move our ministry into a particular neighborhood. And this neighborhood happened to have one very tall apartment tower in it. And guess what that apartment tower was sometimes called? The Ghetto in the Sky. And after ministering there a little bit, I knew that God was asking me to move into this neighborhood. And God didn't ask me to move into this building. God asked me to move into a building across the street that was actually much worse. I knew that I had to make a choice, the choice to obey God, to follow Jesus, no matter where he leads. We're currently in a series on the armor of God, the armor that God provides for us so that we can stand our ground in this spiritual battle. We learn that our enemies are not other people, but are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of this reality, we need to be ready. We learned last week that we are to stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around our waist. God's truth is the anchor that supports and that guides our lives, without which we'd be tossed back and forth by the wind and by every type of teaching. We're not just to know God's truth as head knowledge, but we're to allow it to capture us, transform us, and set us free. We then considered the breastplate of righteousness, the defensive piece that is anchored to the belt of truth that forms the last line of defense over our heart, protecting the center of who we are, the core of our spiritual lives. We learned that this righteousness is not an ability to be good that we create or we develop or we work hard to put in place. Our only righteousness is given to us as a gift of grace through Jesus Christ. We receive and we live out his righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. With a belt of truth buckled around us, God's truth begins to work in our lives, begins to transform us, recreate us, make us like Jesus. And we're able then to live with this thick metal over our hearts of Christ's righteousness that will guard our hearts. Today we turn to a piece of the armor that I've always had difficulty understanding and seeing its function. You see, it's not a defensive thing that blocks an enemy's weapon, and it's not a weapon in and of itself. Yet it's a profoundly important aspect of our armor. This piece of armor is the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And it's worn as boots on our feet. Josephus, someone that my Sunday school class is hearing about once in a while, the ancient Jewish historian, describes this aspect of the Roman soldier's armor as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails, which enabled them to easily and quickly maneuver. Some now believe that Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar owed their success on the battlefield in part to the strong boots that their soldiers wore that enabled them to travel on long marches over incredible distances at great speed. The boots that God provides for us in the spiritual battle consist of a readiness and a willingness to take the gospel of peace wherever He leads. Let's begin by taking a look at this gospel of peace that Paul mentions. In the middle of his discussion of spiritual struggle, danger, and warfare, Paul mentions peace, something that I find very unexpected. We're talking about warfare. He mentions peace, and he describes this message that God gives to us as the gospel of peace. Now, the word gospel means good news, and the good news that we are to proclaim is that we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in Ephesians 2, Paul speaks of Christ's death on the cross tearing down the barrier between us and God and between us and other people. We once lived as God's enemies, but through His death on the cross, Jesus Christ removed our sin that formed a barrier between us and God, and He made a way for us to enter a friendship with God. Not only did Christ remove this barrier between us and God, but He also removes the barriers that humans often build to separate each other based on culture and ethnicity. Paul mentions this in Ephesians 2:14 in regard to Jews and Gentiles, but this applies to all ethnic groups in the body of Christ. Paul writes, "Jesus Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." God then calls us to spread this message of peace with God and peace with one another through Jesus Christ. He gives us this message as an important letter handed to a trusted soldier. And He then sends us out with strong, sharp boots that are willing and ready to go anywhere God sends us to deliver this important news. Now, what does this look like practically? What does it look like to put on boots that are ready to spread the gospel of peace? It looks like someone who is alert to opportunities to tell others about the grace and the hope made available to us in Jesus Christ, and who allows the light of this truth to shine through their lives to all those around them, not only through their words, but also through their actions, through the things they speak with their mouths and through the things they do with their hands. It looks like someone who befriends those at school who don't have any friends. Someone who intervenes in situations when someone is being bullied. It looks like someone who is alert at school or in their neighborhood for others in need, whom they can help with generosity and kindness. It looks like someone who doesn't just read about refugees fleeing warfare in various parts of the world, but someone who prays for those who suffer and who looks for concrete ways that they can get involved. God calls us to be agents of His peace in this world, who spread His peace to those who are hurting around us. Once we understand the gospel of peace, the next question we must ask ourselves is this: are our feet ready to take the message of God's peace anywhere that He leads? To be ready requires that we have a basic grasp of this message of peace, a basic grasp of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. In my Sunday school class, we learned that we can draw a simple diagram on the back of a napkin and in 3 minutes explain the heart of Christianity. The diagram has two cliffs with God on one side, humanity on the other, illustrating our separation from God caused by sin. Then Christ's cross forms a bridge between the cliffs, showing that His death alone opens the way for us to enter a relationship with God. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us, to give a reason for the hope that we have. But we are to do this with gentleness and respect. We must be prepared to give a simple and understandable explanation for how we may have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Another aspect of being ready to take God's message of peace anywhere He leads is being able to talk about our relationship with Christ in an authentic way. As you know, we live in a society where talking at great length about something as private as personal faith sometimes seems socially awkward or uncomfortable. For this reason, we need to be alert for these little openings that God gives us in daily conversation with the people that we meet or the people who are already in our lives. And when God does give us an opening, whether it's a small opening or a bigger opening, then we don't necessarily need to preach an entire sermon, but we simply allow who we are as a child of God to shine through in that moment. These opportunities could be very simple. A number of years ago, I was filling my car at a gas station, and a guy came up to me and asked if I would jumpstart his car that had died. So I took out my jumper cables, I jumpstarted his car, and I sensed that I just had a little opening, just a short moment where I could plant just a little seed. So I said something very simple. I just said, "God bless you. God bless you." At other times, God gives us a larger opening, as He did for me when I was traveling in a train car that I shared with a Hindu businessman for several hours in India. And we were able to talk deeply about what he believes, what I believe, and how we live out our faith. We need to look for these opportunities, whether big or small, and then seize them and allow God to speak through us in these moments. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." He then gives us a picture of how we are to shine as bright lights in a dark world. Jesus says, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." As God's children, living in fellowship with Him, we cannot help but experience God's light shining in us and through us. And as this happens, we will stand out as much as bright city lights on a nighttime satellite photo. In Matthew 5:15, Jesus explains that people don't light a lamp in order to put it under a basket or a bowl. They light a lamp in order to put it on a stand, so that its light fills the room, so that its light illuminates everyone around it. He says, "Let your lights shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So don't hide God's light inside of you. Let it shine out. Let it illuminate the people in your lives. For many, though, the deepest struggle that we face before we can take God's message of peace to the people around us is not related to preparation. It's not a question of, I don't know what to do. It's a question of willingness. Are we willing to follow Jesus anywhere he leads? Are we willing to walk down any path that he chooses for us and calls us to walk down? In Peter 3:15, immediately before Peter instructs us to always be prepared to share with those around us the reason for the hope that we have, Peter says this, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." The deeper barrier that prevents our feet from being ready to follow Jesus anywhere he leads is not the fact that we don't know what to say or that we don't know how to interact with the people around us. The greatest barrier is our lack of willingness to follow Jesus to places that we don't want to go. The greatest barrier is our unwillingness to be used by him in ways that feel uncomfortable or awkward to us. Whenever we lack the willingness to follow Jesus and obey him, wherever he may lead, we can be sure that the root of the problem is that we have failed to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. To set apart Christ as Lord means that we recognize that we're not the boss of our lives anymore. We're not the commander of our ship. We're not the pilot of our plane, right? We're not holding the controller to the video game of our lives. We've handed that controller over to someone else. We've given the video game controller over to Jesus Christ. We recognize that Jesus is Lord in our lives by handing the control of our lives and of our future over to him and committing to follow and to obey him wherever he leads. This is never easy. It is never easy. But this is the only path to real joy in this life. On a Saturday night, during my last year of college, I was a member of a ministry leadership team in the inner city of Minneapolis in the neighborhood that I had mentioned earlier. Each Saturday night, we'd hold an outreach in which we'd set up a Jesus kitchen on the street to feed anyone who was hungry. And we'd hang out on the street and in the nearby cafe that was the center of the community in this neighborhood. And we'd look for opportunities to let our light shine and share with others the hope, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. At a certain point in the evening, I was sitting in the cafe and two local Christian college students walk into the cafe. And they sit down near us and they begin telling us that they've just been accepted by Fuller Seminary and that they'll soon be leaving to go study. I distinctly remembering this thought. I thought, that's great, but that's not for me. That's not for me. This is where I am. This is where I minister. This is my city. This is my neighborhood. This is where I belong. That night, I walked up to my small single-room occupancy unit in the slum near the cafe. I lay down in my bed and I tried to fall asleep. But suddenly, God started to speak to my heart. If there's anything that's very uncomfortable, it's trying to fall asleep when God is speaking to you. It's hard to do. And so God is speaking to me. And I sensed him say this to my heart, "Nathan, if I asked you, would you be willing to leave your ministry, to leave your city, to leave your family, to leave everything you know, and follow me to Fuller Seminary?" I remember in that moment feeling a mixture of surprise, uncertainty, anxiety, fear, and dread. This is not something I wanted to do. I felt that God was asking me to do something that would involve a greater loss than I thought that I could bear. I wrestled with God late into that night. Finally, in the early hours of the morning, I came to the point where I prayed, "Lord, if you are calling me to leave my ministry that I helped to start, to leave my city, to leave my family, to leave everything that I know and follow you to Fuller, then I will obey you and I will go." In that moment, when I prayed this prayer, something truly miraculous happened, because instead of feeling anxiety and fear and dread, these things disappeared, and in their place, this tremendous peace, joy, and hope came over me. I woke up the next morning with a genuine sense of excitement. And that morning I then went online and for the first time began to gather information about Fuller Seminary. Then 2 weeks later, I was on the road driving from Minneapolis down to California to visit, to learn more. And then about 6 months later, I was actually a student on campus at Fuller Seminary. As I drove out to California on that first visit to Fuller, I was traveling through the Rocky Mountains west of Denver in the early morning when I pulled my car over to the side of the road to read my Bible and to pray. And as I was sitting there, the sun was just beginning to rise and it was breaking over these beautiful mountains all around me. And I was reading in Proverbs chapter 4, and I came to verse 18. It said that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like a light that begins to dawn and that only gets brighter and brighter. The further you follow Christ, the deeper you go into His will. When we step out upon the path of obeying and following God, our path gets better and better. For though we will face difficulty, we will face hardship, we experience more and more of God. And we come to know God deeper and deeper. I remember thinking in that moment, reading Proverbs 4:18, as sunlight is breaking out all around me in the mountains, that I want more than anything else in my life, I want to remain on the path that God calls me to walk and to experience His light filling my life no matter where He leads. My struggle that night in Minneapolis was about whether or not I would recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life and then live out this recognition by obeying Him and following Him wherever He would lead. My struggle was about allowing God to give me feet fitted with the readiness to bring His gospel of peace no matter where He sends me. In one way or another, in dramatic or subtle ways, each one of us will face the question of whether we recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord over our lives, and whether we will live as though He is the boss, or whether we will reject this reality and continue to try to live as though we are the boss of our own lives. Are we willing today to allow God to send us wherever He chooses? Are we willing to allow Him to use us however He wants? Today, let's surrender our lives to Jesus Christ in a deeper way. Today, let's recognize His lordship over our lives, and let's allow Him to use us to spread His gospel of peace, however and wherever He chooses. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank You that You invite us into an adventure. An adventure that's so much greater than anything we could imagine. But for us to be invited in, for us to experience this adventure, we need feet that are fitted with readiness to take Your gospel of peace anywhere You choose. Lord, I pray that today, that You would give us this gift, that You would strap onto our feet the boots, the soldiers' boots that are ready to go wherever You, our commander, sends us, that we would be faithful to the task, that we would be brave and courageous, that we would be full of faith to enter any battle, to enter any path that You send us to. We pray this in Your name. Amen.